Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is sponsored by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing with True Automation by signing up at ActiveCampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months for free. We are users of this, by the way. They have a new beta section of their deals app, which, by the way, I absolutely love. I've used Salesforce and many other things, but I fantastically love ActiveCampaign's deals app in particular as it comes to like direct sales, me CEO meeting with another person, CEO, whatever, trying to make a sale. It's just much easier for you to manage. They have a new button. I swear they were thinking of us, called Campaigns in it, that enable me to monitor all my newsletter information and success. We talked about it today before the show. And speaking of that, you should probably actually subscribe to the newsletter, which you can do by going to technori.com. I just love ActiveCampaign, so I'm just freely pitching this, and you should too. Today's guest, James Yee, good friends with him and his brother, John, also an entrepreneur. James is founder and CEO of Leaf Trade. This entire show is amazing, and it's full of puns and laughter and real stuff and some good stories that I don't think I've ever shared before, and James's stories, and he and I are both he less new, but new-ish fathers and entrepreneurs, and that's like a whole thing, and there's a weird stigma around it, more for female founders, but it is actually a real thing for male founders. I don't want to be like that, the dude in the room crying, because that's not the case, but the, you know, female founders certainly have it harder, but male founders and female founders get this weird vibe from investors who see of a young kid, and it's like, oh, are you really committed? James and I go through why that's a bunch of shit. The show is fantastic. If you like this show, you would also love the conversation we had also with cannabis company called Chicago-based company called Philo, co-founders Chad Bronstein and Aristotle Loomis, my good guy Ari, on the show. You'd love that podcast. Just go to wherever you get your podcast. I don't know, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever. Look up Technori Podcast. Type in FYLLO and you'll have it. Quick shout out also before we hit to the show, my good friend and also a person who's been on the show, Kyle Nakasugi. And the team at ClearCover for recently announcing a $50 million Series C. I swear every time we hit a new year, Kyle's got a new raise. It was 20, then it was 40, now it's 50. Congratulations to those guys. And also a shout out because we're talking about weed, Cresco Labs and their Sunnyside Dispensaries Recreational Sales Debut of the Week. Illinois collected over $10 million in cannabis sales. Great start. We talk about that on the show as well. So this is my interview with the founder and CEO of Leaf Trade, James Yee.
It's a very cute little Diet Coke can you have there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to wean off of it, and the best way I can think of it is to, like, instead of buying big cans, I buy little cans.
Yeah,
and
that baby way I'm steps.
Not, baby, yeah, steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. Speaking of that, yeah. Let's get this thing going. Your water does not make fun.
I tried.
Your
I
water
tried.
Doesn't
I
make fun sounds.
I wanted to have the same splash that you did.
James, it's, bottle. You know... Maybe if you know, I have Sam warned me not to make my jokes. I'm going to start off with our jokes. If I had only to have like a lighter sound, you know, maybe it would be more familiar to you.
Oh man, what a horrible missed opportunity by myself.
I mean, you know, not everything is not everything is everything. So this is literally, I mean, is there a better time in your life than right this minute?
Wow, I mean, it's quite exciting for sure, especially like in the heart of Illinois and Chicago.
For those that don't know, Illinois is now a pot state.
Yeah, officially fully recreational.
You're going to notice during the show, and you just want to make sure you're uptight. You will notice during the show that I'm going to make all kinds of stupid comments that you're going to have to correct me on because I still use the same sort of like, I'm like that old guy who just doesn't get it, but I do. Like, and if I had more money, I would put all of it probably in your company. Yeah. or I would, I don't know, try to buy more of Cresco. I don't know, but for whatever reason, I cannot get myself out of the like calling it drugs things like my whole life.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of friends who participated in too much of a lot of things, but in particular will be professional cannabis.
Sure. Puns are welcome.
Yeah, this is gonna be puns. Fucking puns galore. I literally used to call it smoking drugs. It started because of my mom.
Any narcs in the room here?
No, I mean, I don't know. We're recording, the whole thing is a narc. Right. This entire system is a narc. My mom was always so you know, she's grew up Catholic, the whole nine yards. Not that that necessarily, I don't think that in the Bible there's anything about cannabis, but whatever, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in that. I haven't read the book. But she would always be very like, you know, don't do anything. She doesn't talk like that, but for the sake of this show, she does. She's like, you know, be a good boy. Don't do anything terrible or whatever. And she's like, don't smoke drugs.
Yep.
And then it's stuck. And so now for me, I'm like a 35-year-old man running around. I'm like, these kids are smoking drugs.
No, I 100% relate. Also grew up in a very strict Catholic household.
But you read the book.
I mean, I kind of had to, right?
I went to Marquette, which is a Jesuit school. I took three classes in theology.
Yeah.
I have not read four lines of the Bible.
Yeah.
Or really anything, for that matter. You know, but I'm specifically
that. I'm very envious of you, yeah. But, you know, honestly, like, what I wanted to get across is that, like, for my mom specifically, you know, when I first got into the industry and approached her about it, because I was like,
yeah,
at some point,
get
I have to break
too.
The news, right?
Yeah.
And
coming out of the cannabis closet.
Exactly. Take one. And, you know, I was very hesitant and slowly approached it. And she was like, yeah, what's the big deal? It's legal now.
Yeah. Right? As long as you don't take the greenbacks and roll them in smoke out of it.
So
you know,
you only care. You were just looking out for my best interest. You didn't want me to get in trouble now that it's getting legal. It's just like, go ahead.
And that's a whole other conversation. This is going to go. We're going to touch all kinds of different points here.
Yeah.
Obviously, leave trade and get into the whole jazz of what you do. There's a lot of backstory of just me and you, and I've known you, you know, a long time, and your brother, and entrepreneurs and the whole family. And, I was talking to, Sonny Tai. Do you know Sonny from Aegis AI?
He was at our, Bell,
so he started a company, it's an AI company. Oh yeah, but they changed the name, but it used to be Aegis AI.
Yeah.
And so we were talking at our holiday party about sort of, he is, I believe he is Korean, and he was going through this whole, you know, stuff about being, you know, the family style is different than like just normal. And I saw your post about, the kid doctor.
Yeah.
You're like, if you grew up in this community, like you all had this guy as a doctor.
Right.
and it's funny to me. And the only reason I go into this is because the family, there's a weird thing about being an entrepreneur where you have to at some point explain sometimes to your parents if you need money in particular or some sort of support,
right?
But mostly it's holiday time with family members where they're like, what do you do, like what and I always thought it was interesting that entrepreneurs have this like weird thing that they have to explain to their family. And then there's another element layered on top of this for you that it is in the cannabis space, which is unique and different to normal. And it was previously obviously an illegal drug, and there was a whole thing. And then there is yet another layer for you in that the way that your family treats, like everything is kind of one big family. The community is a big, strongly knit community. And like, there's the thought of like, in my house, if I'm an entrepreneur and I tell my mom that, she's going to be like, she doesn't give a shit if the neighbors, they don't know the difference. They wouldn't know anything. But in a tightly knit community,
right,
there's a whole bunch of things, whether it's shame or pride,
sure,
that can happen.
Right.
And you've had to deal with this whole entire thing. And I just think it's really interesting because a lot of entrepreneurs talk and people and everybody talks about cannabis and blah, blah, blah. Mm. But very few people actually talk about, okay, I'm going to start a company in this,
sure,
and I'm going to tell everyone around me that I'm in this.
Yeah.
And you started this before, and you were into this before this was like everyone's talking about the lines outside of the, you know, the distribution places.
No, that's a really good point, and I think hopefully, you know, I'm personally doing my part in kind of evangelizing? That's the word.
I'm the worst when it comes to dialect. I have that of a. It's like my wife tells me, it's like my menu as a person. It's like a 4-year-old.
Right.
Like I came home last night exhausted, and I immediately went and made 2 hot dogs in the microwave and ate them with ketchup. And she was like, and I didn't cut it. And she's like, you are a child. Like, and she's right.
Right. But you hit it. Evangelizing. Right. I think that, you know, when I first got my foot in the door in the industry, I kind of was, you know, dabbling in some consulting just to, because I was excited about the prospects of the opportunity, right? And then once I got...
You were consulting in the space,
right, okay, in Illinois, in the early stages.
Yep.
And when I had the opportunity to get real face time with the people that actually needed the medicine. These weren't recreational people. These were people that were coming in, could hardly walk, some oftentimes even children with epilepsy. And I got to see how the medicine really helped to lift their lives. And then I was like, that's it. I see this.
Yeah.
Like, this is a real thing. And, you know, part of my job initially was to kind of go around to the municipalities and the communities, the town halls, and really help them to understand what I saw firsthand.
Yep.
Right. And at first they were really, really, you know, very conservative. Pushed back was big. And then a few months down, the difference was huge between like when I first initiated conversations with them and then like 6 months later, all of a sudden, you know, they took a chance and introduced their grandmother who may need this for arthritis and saw firsthand themselves. And all, that's how this network effect in changing perspective in the community happens. And, you know, hopefully... And that's why I love that we're doing something like this, right? Yeah. It's like when family and you're at a family gathering, they're like, what do you do? It's like,
got me on a show. It's fine. Please hit subscribe, folks. Hit subscribe. Follow us on social at Technori and me at Katoon. You got to do that. So there's another side of this coin also that I hate the like cancel culture, like young, I know I'm supposed to be like an influencer of sorts. I hate the influencer thing because they ruined. And obviously the industry is overcoming it, and it will over time.
Mm-hmm.
But they have ruined the point that you just made.
Yeah.
They've ruined a lot of the real value because of the people who hide behind it and like they bullshit their way into like, I just want to smoke weed like that, and that's totally cool. Like that's your thing, but they pretend it's like medical, and there's all these stupid things. And you see these people post about it. I'm just like, there are actually people out there that need this, and because of your tomfoolery,
sure.
There are people who will not use this, at least in the early stages, because of the stigma.
Yeah.
Or they're like, I don't smoke drugs. And then that's the whole thing. And it's like, you need to expose yourself to this a little bit and to dovetail this into like real terms. So speaking of town halls, and I'm sure you're very up on this, but I live in Glen Ellen. I grew up in Glen Ellen, live in Glen Ellen. It came up in a town hall for the village of Glen Ellen recently about whether Glen Ellen would allow a dispensary or would we sell marijuana or cannabis or whatever.
Side, right?
Correct, on the recreational side. And it was like, I don't know if they've actually come back officially now and it's a no-no, but it was a no. Like, it was like, we don't do that.
Sure.
And some guy, I guess, showed up. He didn't have like any, like you, it made it seem like he was going to come in and do this whole like, it's got all his paperwork, like I'm going to give the state the facts, folks.
Yeah.
And he just walked up and he's like, I live at this address. I pay $17,561 a year in taxes. If you don't want to keep paying $17,561 in taxes, it would behoove you to allow people to do things that are legal everywhere around us to do it here and maybe bring your taxes down to $13,461. And it's just like there's so much good economic reason for this to say nothing of the health, to say nothing of just the fact that it's stupid that you can drink and people get in a car and drink and drive, but you can't, like, there's so many things on this topic that has just boggled my mind for years. And I'm just so happy now that Pritzker and all those people kind of got behind it. And there are companies like yourselves that are, whether you actually touch product or you don't, that you're coming in and saying, listen, here are all of the positive reasons to do this.
Right.
And like my objection or lack of objection to this has always been the same.
Right.
And that is we feed like new, and we can get into the newborn thing. We feed newborns all the way to people on their deathbed, essentially dumbed down heroin. And we get them hooked on it. And the pharmaceutical companies can just do whatever the hell they want, but we can't let them touch a natural, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, we can really get into the weeds on the conspiracy,
great
theory component of
looks
the pharmaceutical
like a quote
industry
to me.
And stuff like that, which is, you know, not a conspiracy theory at all.
No.
It's like real, right?
No, it's quite an open
yeah,
fact.
But I think that if you look at things in a very on a simple level in facts, like the economic incentives of expanding and legalizing cannabis are very real. Let's say, just look at the numbers. But at the same time, I do understand how the regulating bodies and these states want to do it the right way, because the last thing that we want is to end up like how the established recreational markets like California and Colorado got started, right? Yeah. They've been around 20, 30 years. The government basically turned the blind eye to it. So they developed that culture that you were talking about.
We want
about.
To take a non-tech approach, actually. The tech approach has always been disrupt and clean up.
Yeah, so, you know, I like the fact that the, you know, the municipalities are getting an opportunity to have the voice in whether their communities are going to get involved in this stuff. But that's where we come in and do our job and do our best to educate the population on why the benefits are there and why we are helping Leaf Trade specifically in providing standardization and processes around this whole thing so that it's not like a wild, wild west.
Yeah, so we'll get into the Leaf Trade after this. The one other thing I thought was interesting about this is, and to your point about doing the smart, what is the right way to put it? First off, the financial impact for different communities, and we can get into the socioeconomics as well of this, but like the financial impact is potentially very similar. This is very similar to me as in the gambling conversation. Sure, it's different, but it's similar. That like any other business, it requires a good business plan and it requires education and it requires an understanding of where this will go before the marbles fall off the table. And I think that if we have a government body and just general, you know, civilians that live here, if they had a better understanding of the economic impact potentially there, that they could build infrastructure in a way that does it the right way.
Right.
And that's one part. And then there's kind of three parts. And the second part here is like 1A and B, and that's the socioeconomics. Like right now, and I saw a thing from Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, but I haven't followed this as well as I probably should. There's a lot of rich, old, white, bald dudes who have the keys.
Yeah.
And like, that's not how that's going to work. And it's got to change. That can't be that way.
Yeah.
And then there's the more important part of that, which is obviously, you know, the socioeconomical piece of this, is that there are a lot of people, in particular African Americans, who are in jail for selling something that's now legal. And you can't just flip a switch and be like, it's all good.
Right.
And then like, oh, no, you're good. You just keep stay in jail and just like the community rot. It's fine.
Right.
Like that has to be a conversation that is slow because you got to unravel a lot of knots.
There's in Illinois specifically, I think there is no sort of system is perfect.
Yeah.
And I think there's room for improvement in the program. But I'm really proud of the sort of recreational approach that the state and Pritzker has taken so far. Just, I think, a couple of days ago,
we saw
in the news, I think it was 11,000 pardons that Pritzker is signing. More to come.
Yep.
But you're absolutely right. I think that the social justice component of it needs to be hand in hand with the economic liberalization of the whole thing and access to that opportunity to more than one demographic that you described earlier.
Ironically, it's also the same demographic that is the primary investor in all businesses, just saying.
Right. And so the hows of that needs to be, I think, a larger conversation, more transparent conversation. But it's a really good start in Illinois.
And, I agree. Yeah, yeah. So Leaf Trade, how do you guys make an impact? What's the deal there? How does it work? How did you get rolling with this? And then we'll save our entrepreneur to entrepreneur jousting at the end about childhood.
So in the very simplest explanation, Leaf Trade, the first step for us is we help the sellers of cannabis, right? The growers and the manufacturers of the product launch a customized online storefront so that they can communicate their product information and availabilities to all the retailers in their market that are going to be purchasing it, right? And by retailers, I mean dispensaries. It's more commonly known as dispensaries in this business, right? And so it's B2B wholesale.
Formerly known as dealers for the layman.
On the corner, right? On the
former. Not anymore.
Right. But the funny thing is that normally these businesses would have the tools in place to streamline their operations and fulfillment, but you know, they were falling back on their old school way of doing business, as in like if a dispensary needed to stock their shelves up with products, they were texting their dealer. I mean, cultivator.
They were texting Jason. I mean,
right, exactly. So the problem with it was an entirely fragmented way of doing things. So you may have texted somebody, "Hey, I want something," and then they'll email you back, "Does this, you know, purchase sort of look good?" And they're, you know, editing back and forth via phone calls and stuff. And then if an order arrives incorrectly, like you're like, all right, where do I even begin to trace, you know, what happened to this order? Right? Yeah. Because it's so fragmented. So it was really about digitizing that whole process and centralizing it in one place. Once we were able to do that in terms of connecting the two parties, that's when things got really exciting, because we were able to add in other built-in features to further streamline supply chain management, like integrating into accounting systems and what's known as these state-mandated seat-to-sale systems,
yep.
which basically monitors where the plant is at any given point in the supply chain.
Yep.
So just drastically reducing the amount of time that both parties spend on managing these orders.
Which is, you know, it's interesting. It's awesome also. I mean, obviously this is going to be if the cannabis industry in the market takes off the way that it looks like it potentially could, mm-hmm. you are the POS, right? I mean,
yeah.
in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So POS, I think.
I don't mean literally like the POS, but there's like the element of like all of the stuff that has to happen before any actual business and buying and selling and do anything can happen.
Yeah.
You have to have this, like, it's the same thing with bars and liquor licenses. Like
they
have to know where you're getting it. Is it bootleg? Like there's a tracking, there's a, can I have a bar next to this place that, oh, there's a school. Nope. Like, so like there's, and it's online. Like, can I sell out of state? Not if I don't have this license. Like there's all kinds of pieces that people don't go into this necessarily knowing.
Right.
And so they need to go through somewhere to like make everything right for them.
Exactly. I think that, the reason why I wanted to make a distinction with the terminology POS, I think most people kind of like associate that with the retail side.
Yes, correct.
So we are on the wholesale transaction. And I think that it's a good analogy was the liquor industry, right?
Yeah.
There's so many sort of nuances and weirdness in the laws from state to state. And just wholesale relationships are so different. Retail platforms, you go on, you order stuff, click, gets delivered to your house. Wholesale transactions are usually like, hey, like there's a relationship involved there and back and forth in terms of like how an order gets put together. And so I think it really takes complex domain expertise to kind of put together a platform that can facilitate the way business is done on the wholesale side.
It's like the legal Frank Lucas.
Yeah.
You know,
I will take the title of American Gang.
I'm telling you. So like, this is funny. It's actually appropriate. Now, not that it was ever inappropriate. It just didn't make sense in context. And now with cannabis not only that it is legal, but the conversation is being had.
Sure.
I've had, I don't even know how many people, who've said to me, oh, you know, who's the first entrepreneur that you met or mentor or whatever bullshit line they ask.
Yeah.
And I've always sort of held I've never told this story, but I've held this in as like my first exposure to entrepreneurship. I think I talk about like an uncle or something as like the bullshit line that I use. Cause whatever.
Yeah.
And I won't give the last name, but his name is Dennis. And the first entrepreneur that I ever met that I was like, holy shit, this guy is onto something was sophomore year of high school.
Yeah.
And there's a kid, he's my age. He actually lived down the street. His name is Dennis. And Dennis was a dealer. Dennis was a DJ. Dennis was a technician. Dennis was anything you needed, man.
He was a menace.
Dennis the menace. Good call. I don't think I ever called him that. That's just a whole other story. But I had a whole lot of names. I had a whole lot of names. I think they're worse than that. They're inappropriate. I'll leave that alone. But here's the thing. He would, and it's funny because I've talked to entrepreneurs, whether it's like the Guaranteed Rate CEO, founder, Victor Cardelli, he was here, and all these other different people. And they all have kind of this like weird, like I used to paint curbs and then try to sell the number painted back to the owner of the house. Like weird scams. Dennis was the dealer. That was probably a big moneymaker. He also was ripping CDs at the time. People listening to this who are younger don't understand that there was a thing called a compact disc. And so he was ripping songs off of torrents. I think he used Kazaa. And if anyone remembers Kazaa, he also was a person who could fix your computer. So back in the day, if you got a virus, like it was over.
Yeah.
And this dude, this is how much of an entrepreneur, this dude would direct you. He'd be like, no, man, you don't need to buy CDs from me. I'll get you one, and then you can like do your own thing, right?
Yeah.
He'd send you to Kazaa where you would not know that you were going to download something that had a ton of diseases in it, and your computer would lock up, and then you'd be like, shit, I don't know who to ask. I can't ask my dad because he can't. I'll call Dennis because he told me, Dennis goes, no problem. I'll come to your house. $150, and he cleans the computer, and then he goes, you know, from now on, you really should buy your CDs for me. And he's got you hooked. Dennis also bought a souped-up Acura Type R the like original like yellow with the and then he souped it up. And he was also the guy who would do like new rims and like glue on shit out of the car. And
oh
so
my gosh.
By the time we were seniors in high school, there was a strong possibility that you were buying you're smoking your drugs from Dennis.
Yeah.
You're hopping in your souped up car, which you're going to break down, jamming out to music ripped by Dennis, going to do your homework
he
on a computer
own
marketplace.
Exactly.
He turned our high school into the Dennis marketplace.
That's
Frank
Lucas right there.
He's the Frank Lucas. I have no
Everybody
clue what he does
one
now.
Dennis at least in their circle, I feel like.
This dude was prolific. This was, I mean, I'm not talking small. I mean, he was so, he had so much money that, I mean, I swear, I mean, we're talking, it could have been 100 plus thousand. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah.
He would hop in his car and drive out. And at the time, he's like, oh, I just want to go on a drive, you know, because I like my car. And he'd be driving to California. None of us put it together. Yeah. And he was buying drugs.
Distribution.
He was moving product. And we had no idea. This kid's a sophomore in high school. He would come home from school on a Friday, hop in his Type R, drive all the way out to California and then come back the same night because he has parents, you know, when you're like in high school, that's not a thing. He drove to California and back, came home overnight Sunday, Saturday morning.
Unfortunately for Dennis, he can't join Leaf Trade because he might not be a licensed business, but...
Well, not then. I don't know. I'm now going to go on the book, the Book of Faces, and find Dennis and see what he's up to. I'd go LinkedIn, but I don't think
Probably
you're going to find
out. Probably real estate mogul, I want to say.
Wouldn't surprise
Funnel
me.
Funnel the money, yep.
He's a house flipper, but I think Dennis would be bored with that.
Yeah.
Like, I think he needs to be, like, near the, you know, near the stuff.
Walking the fine line.
He's got to walk that. It's another funny little line, but I've had a lot of CEOs on the show who have told me that the billionaires, the most successful people out there, are those who can ride the line of legality absolutely as tight as they can to where they sort of, their shadow leaks over the line, but they're never over the line. The only way to make that kind of money is to be, like, breaking the law just slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some introspection on that. I think it has to do with if you're going to, you know, facilitate any type of innovation in any way.
Yeah, break stuff.
Yeah, you're not walking inside the box, right? You have to like figure out how. And I think that's why I admire children so much, and it's what I've kind of learned from fatherhood is like,
well, let's get into that.
They're hardwired to kind of
bite you, to pull on your hair,
but really push the edge and the so they understand where the boundaries are, and then they can like kind of like push it a little bit further.
So
push it a little bit.
I want to. Are you hands-on father? Do you handle a lot?
I try to obviously like work. You know,
it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. But I love dedicating and spending as much time as I can.
So I do the morning. Yeah. I'm the morning guy. Yeah. So I take the kid to daycare. I do the change, the feed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
What is your morning as a father, entrepreneur, star? Like, what's the first thing that happened to you this? What happened to you this morning? What's the first thing that happened to you this morning?
This morning, well, my kid always beats me in terms of waking up.
Well, yeah, of course.
So he's like,
how old now?
He just turned 3 on Christmas.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is
Christmas Day. So it'll be
time has flown.
Yeah, it'll be like 4:35 when he's jumping up and down on the bed, right? And then it's like, all right, well, I feel like such a sack of shit if like I'm just laying there and not doing anything.
Yeah, it's called a deadbeat dad.
Exactly. So I'm motivated to play with him and get the day started. And
I found that if you respond favorably to that, your spouse or domestic partner or whatever people call it today, they seem to be more responsive later on if you were not a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
My day started with projectile shit on me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So like I'm at the 7 month stage, right? So they're still just like, I literally texted my wife after I had an idea that something was coming.
Yeah.
But like I woke her up, I take her out of a little sleepy sack, I set her down on the change table. We'd have to double diaper her because that's a whole other story.
Been there.
Right? Take the first one down, I'm like, something doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Clip, and immediately like, what in the... I text my wife immediately. I was just like, I don't have words for what just happened to me today. Let's just say that the shirt got thrown out. Like, I'm out.
Well,
like, I'm
off, done. After the show, if you want, I can show you pictures of some bad situations.
We all have the pictures. Some of them are sent to me from friends, and I think it's actually them, but that's a whole nother level of debauchery.
Yeah.
I bring this up as we kind of wrap things up here, but I bring this up only because I think I'm becoming the person I used to hate. That guy that you're like, would you stop talking about? You're like, I get it. You got a kid. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a bunch of, you were formerly closet cannabis. There's like closet entrepreneur dads and moms out there who like don't want to bring up the kid because investors think that you're distracted or that you're not on the ball or you're not whatever, like you're not committed to this.
Yeah.
And I just like, I now understand the struggle that exists and just how utterly full of shit that dialogue is. And in particular for female founders, because I remember having this conversation.
It's such a dangerous paradigm keep you reinforced.
Julie from Party Slate was on here. She's like, you know, we did this talk to an investor and they were like, you know, I'm a mom of, I can't remember, I think it's three or whatever. And she, and they're like, oh my God, how do you do that? How's, and like, no one ever said that to my husband. He works at Google. No one ever said to my husband, like, how, my goodness, how'd you do that?
I
think that there is, as we start to get a little older and the entrepreneurs are a little bit older, this is going to be a thing that's just like common. Like I was on a call with my business partner on the way to drop the baby off daycare and she's, you know, screaming in the background. It's like, what's that? And it's like, that's Vivian, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Deal with it.
Yeah. That's she's pushing me now. I don't, you know, whatever. I just wanted, like, as you were just getting rolling into this whole thing when you had a kid.
Yeah.
What has that, how has that changed your perspective in as an entrepreneur or a business owner? Yeah. What is the difference?
Let me tell you. So my son was born on Christmas Day. Leaf Trade officially launched a week after he was born.
Wow.
And like that period in my life, I was
no recollection.
This is a blackout.
my time is June.
Yeah.
Everything, my acquisition of Technori, my first round invested, my quote unquote exit, all of these things, everything is in June. My baby was born June 11th. She was 11 pounds.
Yeah.
Like June is my thing. Yeah. I think I went on a honeymoon in June. Like,
I think things just kind of happen in like compounds, like two, you know, in three.
I think you get a lot of energy like a couple different times in the year where like you have like a consecutive nights of sleep and like, the stars aligned and you did a whole bunch of stuff. Yours was, I don't do math well, but if I was Christmas Day, I'm going to go ahead and do the math and say that your pre-summer was pretty good. You were, you know, everything was going well. It's just a weird thing. And I think it's, for those who don't experience this, I think it's, you learn. I think I'm a better entrepreneur. I think I'm a better business owner now, not because I have perspective, but just literally like I am forced to manage time better. I have to be more structured about it. And
That was exactly it. I had so many thoughts of self-doubt, like how am I ever gonna be able to manage this, right? Especially with those monumental events kind of colliding. And I've learned that like you literally it kind of like drives focus and priorities, and it helps you to kind of eliminate everything else, all the noise that doesn't matter anymore.
Right. I'm like a little sick in that, like, I kind of, I don't know, I get jazzed about it, but it's also like one of my driving forces. I love knowing that I put up with more shit than you and I beat you. Like I used to love that I would like go, and this is a dumb story, but I would be like college. I would literally get a perfect score on a final exam, totally shit hammered.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around everyone else like, you're C students and you guys are at like your peak. Like what? This is over.
Yeah.
And the kid thing has been the same thing. It's like there's, I mean, Sam can tell you all these different times of me coming into work like eggs. I mean, just like you, like just like a zombie.
Yeah.
And then you have to snap on and do it real quick. And then you're off and you're like, oh man, I enjoyed that way more than like slowly. No,
I think that's a competitive nature in like founders, right?
Yeah.
Is that, and the way that it manifests for me, and I think what it sounds like for you, is that like the best sort of not necessarily revenge, but just like,
no, revenge is a good one. speaking of American Gangster and Denzel, revenge is a dish best served cold.
Yeah, is boom. Is or just validation of success is just, you know, living your best life.
It's funny you say that. I'm going to steal that. It's perfectly said. You didn't even intend to, I don't think, but the revenge is what I show everyone out here, the audience. That's what I show you is revenge, because I want to be a badass, right? At home, it's validation,
right?
When you're with your loved ones and intimately know you and your insecurities, it's like, it was real. Like it was the shit. And but then publicly you're like, ah, fuck that, I crushed them, like valid, you know, whatever, revenge. I don't know, man, that's my thing. So this has been a lot of fun. Obviously, you know how to get in touch with us. I hope the absolute best. Where do people go to learn about Leaf Trade? And then I want to ask you one final out-the-door question.
Yeah. So, website, you can go to leaftrade.com. And For Instagram, it's at LeafTrade, one word. Twitter, it's at Leaf_trade.
Okay. And do you manage to put your hair on that Instagram? Like, do we have that? I feel like you need a logo got sweet.
If the audience is lucky, we'll do a monthly hair shot.
I mean, you should. Nope.
Katie, our marketing is
they nixed it, but you know what? This is the conversation I have with everyone. The CEO has to put a foot down every once in a while. In this case, let your hair down.
Yeah.
Stupid puns full of the show. It's been fantastic. What is your out the door thoughts on the next three? Let's say the first 100 days of legal cannabis in Illinois.
Yeah.
Where do you think we're? What are you looking forward to? What should people know that they don't know?
I think that obviously it's the educational component of it, right? I think that more and more municipalities will start to understand that, hey, this is a huge benefit for the community and start opening up to it. And so I'm really excited to see and have the opportunity for the industry as a whole to get face to face with all stakeholders involved so that everyone's educated and making the right moves. Also, I think opportunities-wise in terms of jobs in this space is going to skyrocket as a result of this. And so, you know, whether you're touching the plant in terms of cultivation or retail or technology, LeafTrade.
Yeah. Hired Dennis.
Yeah, the opportunities are there.
We didn't get into this because it'd be a full other show, but I do think the one thing I'm looking forward to, not in the next 100 days, but in the next 1,000+ days, is the more communities get behind this and it becomes like a real thing, the more pressure it makes on the federal laws to be changing so that the banks are not sitting there and you're in flux, not knowing where I can park my money.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing. We should actually have you and some other founders in the
Yeah, we could have a round two on that for
and
sure.
And do just
that. Because the financial
that.
Component of it, the financial institutions, it's a big deal, a big problem.
Yeah.
And we're just actually getting into helping to address that. So
sweet. Yeah, we'll recircle up on that one.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Take care.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions for me or for James, feel free to DM me on Instagram or Twitter at Technori or at Katoon. To apply to pitch on the Startup Showcase live on WGN Radio, go to technori.com. Boom, that's a wrap.